Chapter 1 of Love's Shadow. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Recording by Helen Taylor, Oxford, UK. Love's Shadow by Ada Leveson. Chapter 1. Hyacinth.
"There's only one thing I really must implore you, Edith," said Bruce anxiously. "Don't make me late at the office."
"Certainly not, Bruce," answered Edith sedately. She was seated opposite her husband at breakfast, in a very new, very small, very white flat in Knightsbridge, exactly like thousands of other new, small, white flats. She was young and pretty, but not obvious. One might suppose that she was more subtle than was shown by her usual expression, which was merely cheerful and intelligent.
"Now I have to write that letter before I go," Bruce exclaimed, starting up and looking at her reproachfully. "Why didn't I write it last night?"
Edith hadn't the slightest idea, as she had heard nothing of the letter before, but in the course of 3 years she had learnt that it saved time to accept trifling injustices, so she looked guilty and a little remorseful. He magnanimously forgave her, and began to write the letter at a neat white writing-table.
"How many G's are there in Raggett?" he asked suspiciously. She didn't answer, apparently overtaken by a sudden fit of absence of mind. "Only one, of course. How absurd you are!" said her husband, laughing, as he finished the letter and came back to the table. She poured out more coffee. "It's a curious thing," he went on, in a tone of impartial regret, "that with all the fuss about modern culture and higher education nowadays, girls are not even taught to spell."
"Yes, isn't it? But even if I had been taught, it might not have been much use. I might just not have been taught to spell Raggett. It's a name, isn't it?"
"It's a very well-known name," said Bruce.
"I dare say it is, but I don't know it. Would you like to see the boy before you go?"
"What a question! I always like to see the boy, but you know perfectly well I haven't time this morning."
"Very well, dear. You can see him this afternoon."
"Why do you say that? You know I'm going golfing with Goldthorpe. It really is hard, Edith, when a man has to work so much that he has scarcely any time for his wife and child."
She looked sympathetic.
"What are you doing today?" he asked.
"Hyacinth's coming to fetch me for a drive in the motor." His face brightened. He said kindly,
"I am so glad, darling, that you have such a delightful friend when I can't be with you. I admire Hyacinth very much in every way. She seems devoted to you, too, which is really very nice of her. What I mean to say is that in her position she might know anybody. You see my point?"
"Quite."
"How did you meet her originally?"
"We were school friends."
"She is such a lovely creature. I wonder she doesn't marry."
"Yes, but she has to find someone else whom she thinks a lovely creature, too."
"Edith, dear."
"Yes, Bruce."
"I wish you wouldn't snap me up like that. Oh, I know you don't mean it, but it's growing on you, rather."
She tried to look serious and said gently, "Is it really? I am sorry."
"You don't mind me telling you of it, do you?"
"Not at all. I'm afraid you'll be late, Bruce." He started up and hurried away, reminding Edith that dinner was to be at 8. They parted with affectionate smiles. When he had gone down in the lift, Edith took an inextensive walk through the entire flat, going into each room and looking at herself in every looking-glass. She appeared to like herself best in the dining-room mirror, for she returned, stared into it rather gravely for some little time, and then said to herself, "Yes, I'm beginning to look bored." Then she rang the bell, and the nurse brought in a pretty little boy of nearly 2, huffily dressed in white, who was excited at the prospect of his great morning treat, going down in the lift. Speaking of him with some formality as Master Archie, she asked the nurse a few questions, which she mistakenly supposed gave that personage the impression that she knew all that there was to be known about children. When she was alone with him for a minute, she rushed at him impulsively, saying privately, "Heavenly pet, divine angel, duck!" in return for which he pulled her hair down and scratched her face with a small empty Noah's Ark that he was taking out with him for purposes of his own. When he had gone, she did her hair up again in a different way, parted in the middle. It was very pretty, wavy, fair hair, and she had small, regular features, so the new way suited her very well. Then she said again, "Yes, if it
Sample complete. Ready to continue?